Anti-government protests in Lebanon started back in October. People from all of the country's main religious groups have been coming out into the streets to demand the end of their sectarian-based government system. That has not happened, but protesters say there have been some notable successes. One of them is the reclaiming of public space that's long been scarce across Lebanon. Rebecca Collard has our report from Beirut.
It seems like every time a Lebanese politician speaks publicly or the government announces new reforms, this is the response. Protesters block the main bridge in Beirut that connects the east and west sides of the city. It doesn't take long for brightly lit food carts to show up. At one point, there was even a fridge and a flat-screen TV out there with a sign that said, "Revolution and Chill." Talal Zaidan says he always comes when there's a call to shut the road.
People, they need a platform. They need a physical place, a public place where they can meet.
And in Lebanon, that is hard to find. There are few public parks. The corniche along Beirut's waterfront is open to all. But the lack of public space is something people here complain about a lot. Zaidan says it's had a detrimental impact on the fabric of Lebanese society.
And communication is the key to break stereotypes and to know each other. So
Zaidan says it's all part of a political strategy. The sectarian political powers want to keep public spaces closed. It's all about keeping people divided, he says, scared of each other and therefore dependent on their sectarian leaders.
This protest, it created a public spaces. It created a public awareness that the people, that they are really united. Even if they do belong to different religious backgrounds, they are united.
Protesters drag a metal gate into the street near Martyrs Square. This has become a center of Lebanon's protest movement. All the roads into the square have been blocked for months, creating a massive, pedestrian-only area that has hosted the largest demonstrations in the city since October. But even when the square isn't filled with chanting protesters, people come just to wander around the tents and visit the food stands. Lucien Borjali is a filmmaker and theater director. He's among the dozens of protesters trying to prevent authorities from reopening Martyrs Square to traffic. Like Zaidan, Borjali says that Lebanon's sectarian divisions have been fostered by Lebanon's political elites.
This would be killed with a lot of public spaces, this feeling of not knowing the other, of hating the other.
That's not to say that today people don't mix in Lebanon. In some shopping districts and bars and restaurants, you can find people of all sectarian backgrounds. But there are few open, free public spaces. And it wasn't always like this in Lebanon. Martyrs Square used to be a busy public space. The square was named after a group of Arab nationalists, Christians and Muslims, executed here by the Ottomans in 1916. Without the symbolic statue in the middle of the square honoring them, it would be almost unrecognizable today. During much of Lebanon's civil war, Martyrs Square was a front line. It was destroyed in the fighting and never fully restored. With the exception of these recent protests, this square has mostly been a big empty space right in the middle of the city. Online, you can find dozens of videos and photo montages from the golden era of Martyrs Square. Palm trees rise out of grass-covered lawns and gardens. People stroll past shops and restaurants and by a large fountain. And that's how this man, who gave his name only as Naji, remembers it.
It was a beautiful place. It was a green place. You had a sound that you don't hear anymore.
I meet Naji in a shop that sells cigars and whiskey a few blocks from Martyrs Square. He's now 63, but when he was young, he would come to the square from where he lived in the southwest of the city. He says buses would arrive from all over the country. Tram lines ran through the center. There was a bustling market where people from every part of Lebanon came to hawk goods. Naji's friend pulls out an old photo of the square on his phone.
You see a mosque and you see many, many churches. But despite that, this area hasn't a religious identity. It was a downtown, for everybody.
That's not to pretend that everything was perfect before the Civil War, but the public square did provide more opportunities for encounter and the sharing of physical space. And the war didn't only destroy public space in the center of Beirut. It also put a stop to most of the country's public transport. Naji recalls those days when Lebanon had a rail system that ran the length of the country, connecting towns and villages, as well as buses and trams.
Which kind of people take the metro in London, or in Paris, or in New York? any kind of people. The people were mixed.
Today, Lebanon has a small network of buses, but no rail system at all. Bourjali says this, too, is no accident. He says Lebanon's sectarian political parties know that public space and public transport has the potential to unify people. And that, he says, is where Lebanon's protest movement has succeeded.
One of the great things that happened during this revolution is that people found these, reclaimed these spaces and used them for public debates, for discussions, for sitting together.
It's a first step, say the protesters, in bringing down a system that has long kept people divided. For The World, I'm Rebecca Collard in Beirut.